Ours will be forever the method.
You're the king of kings, though.
There's always a pecking order. The little peckers never mess with the big peckers. So I'm a rooster, and he's a chicken.
This episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast is brought to you by our Patreon sponsors. If you'd like to become a Patreon sponsor, please go to our website, which is bodybuildinglegendshow.com, and you will see the link in the upper right-hand corner. All right, welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, where we talk to the legends of bodybuilding, and we also talk about the history of bodybuilding. I'm your host, John Hansen. On today's show, we have part two of our interview with Jeff King and Matt Dufresne. Jeff and Matt are both Mr. America and Mr. Universe winners. Jeff won the AAU Mr. America contest in 1983, and then he went over to London and competed in the NABBA Mr. Universe, and he won that contest as well. And Matt also did the same thing. Matt grew up with Jeff, watched him in the gym as a teenage kid, and he decided to do exactly what Jeff did. So Matt won the Mr. America contest in 1989 and also went over to the NABBA Mr. Universe in 1989 and won the overall there. So I got part two of our interview with Jeff and Matt coming up in a second. Hope you guys enjoyed part one last week. Happy Memorial Day, everybody. Today is Memorial Day when we are recording this. So I hope everybody had a great Memorial Day weekend. I myself did not do anything, just stayed at home. But hope you guys had a great weekend out there. I did see the movie Top Gun Maverick. I don't know if you guys saw that. It was really good. I think the first one came out in 1986, if you can believe it. So it was almost 40 years ago. And I got to give a shout out to Tom Cruise, looking good. He'll be 60 years old this July. I think his birthday is July 3rd. And Tom is on the beach playing, I think they're playing football or something. Yeah, I think they're playing football, not volleyball like in the first one. But he was playing with all the students who were in their 20s. And Tom had his shirt off. He's a stud, man. Does his own stunts, flies airplanes, rides motorcycles, drives cars fast. He's unbelievable. So despite what you may think of Tom as a Scientologist and all that stuff, he's a killer movie star, that's for sure. And he's in great shape. So great movie. Go see that if you got a chance. When we get done with our interview with Jeff and Matt, I am going to read an article by Jeff King that was written in 1984 called How I Trained for the Mr. Universe and Mr. America. And I actually found this online today. I found it on Facebook. So it was on my friend Tim Westcott's website back in 2006. So it fits perfectly with our interview. So I thought I would read that. I also mentioned Jeff and Matt were one of the few people who won the AAU Mr. America and the NABBA Mr. Universe in the same year. So I went back and did some research. Here's a little history for you guys. There was only 7 people that did that. That's way less than I thought it was. So here's the list. Bill Pearl was the first guy to do it in 1953, won the America and the Universe. And then Ray Schaefer won the 1956 America and also the Universe. And I just posted a picture of Ray and the top 5 of the 1956 Mr. America contest on my Facebook page this weekend. And that's what got me thinking about it. Ray Routledge was the winner in 1961, the America and the Universe. And then the next year, Joe Abenda did the same thing. So I remember Joe Abenda. He was a really good bodybuilder. And then nobody did it for 7 years until Boyer Coe did it in 1969. So that's pretty significant because, let's see, Jim Haslop, he won the America in 68, and he went over to the University and lost to Dennis Tinerino. And then in 1967, Dennis Tinerino was the winner of the America, but he lost the Universe to Arnold. That was Arnold's first win. And then if we go back to 1966, my friend Bob Guida was the Mr. America winner, but he did not go over to the Universe, but Chet Yorton did go over. And Chet won the IFBB Mr. America, so he doesn't count. So, yeah, it's pretty interesting. But then Boyer was the one who did it. And then if you go to 1970, Chris Dickerson won the America that year, and he did go over to NABBA, but Frank Zane defeated him for the overall NABBA Universe. And then in 71, Casey Viator was the big winner of the America at 19 years old. But for some reason, he did not go over to NABBA in 71. So, it's very, very rare for a guy to win the America and the Universe. In fact, Boyer was the last one to do it before Jeff King. So from 1969 until 1983, nobody had won the America and the Universe. And then Matt Dufresne was the last one to do it. Because as you know, as we got into the 1990s, the Mr. America contest kind of went down in quality as many people were going in it. Everybody had definitely switched over to the NPC. And I was looking at the list of Mr. Universe winners from NABBA in the 1990s. And to be honest with you, I didn't even recognize most of them. So that's interesting. Only seven guys won the America and the Universe. So now we got a little bit of history there. Emails. We got one email, and this comes from Apple Podcast. So if you listen to our show on Apple, you can leave a review on that website. So please do that if you could. This one says, great show. My dad was an amateur bodybuilder in the 80s. I grew up around and always loved bodybuilding because of that. The depth of John's interviews and the breadth of guests he has on is absolutely awesome. John's interviews are entertaining and informative at the same time, and they harken back to the past, and they would make even a hater of bodybuilding enjoy the interviews. This is a must listen. All right. Thank you for that review. So if you guys want to send me any emails about this week's show, you can send them to naturalolympia@gmail.com. All right, guys, that's it. Short opening this week. Not many emails. Let's get to our interview. This is part two of our interview with Jeff King and Matt Dufresne, 1983 and 1989 Mr. America winners, respectively. Here we go.
I remember Serge Noubre. Oh, he was a hero of mine, too. So Serge Noubre brought me over. You know, the guy is, again, a real gentleman, man. Everything was
class act.
I mean, he put me in the best hotels. So he says, I have my driver. And so, you know, he's going to drive around. If you want to go to the Eiffel Tower, this, I'm like, I don't need to see the Eiffel Tower. I mean, John, I like totally missed everything.
Oh, yeah.
If I could turn the clock back, people said, well, what would you do different? The only thing I would do different is I would have relaxed a little bit.
Yeah.
You only get with age, you know, you start to realize if I worry about it, doesn't make it happen any better, you know?
Yeah.
And so I remember, and I got in the car, and he drove me, he goes, there's, you know, Notre Dame, and there's, I says, great, okay, I gotta get back to the gym, you know? And I remember I was in Germany, and it was early in the morning, they opened the gym for me, and I was doing front squats, and, you know, the guys were just looking at me like, hey, this guy's crazy. And I remember when I was leaving, it was a photographer guy that had come, and he says, Jeff King, you're the perfect bodybuilder. You know, like, I just wanted, you know, I wanted to do my stuff. And it was a job for me. It was a job. And it was, I enjoyed it. Trust me. I had a very good time. I met a lot of incredibly awesome people. And I did have fun when I went to Australia. I was with a guy who was in the Universe, Ken Ware. He lived in Mackay, and I went all over Australia. It was awesome. But I went and hung out with him for a week, and I had a good time.
You relaxed.
I relaxed. We went to this island. It's called, Brampton Island. It's on the reef. We went out there to this resort for a day, and it was so funny because the sun, you're almost on the equator. It was so hot, and I had short hair, and touch my head. I had blisters coming out of my hair.
Oh, man. Wow.
But, you know, that was a fun time. He was a fun guy. And, you know, that was a fun time. I mean, we still worked out. We still trained. But, you know, then, you know, hey, I'm going to take you over here. We're going to go here. We went to the Gold Coast.
Yeah. Right?
So we arrived, and we worked out in the morning. Went to, oh, yeah, we go to the beach. So they're just, like, staring at me. And I'm like, look, I'm like, what, man? And of course, I realized we're on a new beach. So girls are running out of the water, and I'm like, what the hell? And they're laughing. Because I had no idea, you know. And they're looking at me, and they introduced me to this food called bugs, and they look like giant bugs, and that's what they call them. And they're, they taste like lobster, but yeah, it was a good time.
Wow. Matt, did you get to do any of the traveling like Jeff did? Did you do any of that?
I mostly went over to Europe. I never got to Australia.
Okay.
I did a lot of Benelux for Twin Lab, the guy that was the chief importer for Belgium, France, Netherlands, that area. Right? And I spent a lot of time with her. I spent a month with our buddy Ferdy and JJ, mm-hmm. who was with mm-hmm. Twin Lab. And I had a great time. I took a few moments that, you know, I wasn't as obsessed. I went to the gym when they said, hey, what's your gym time? You know, and I was like, 2 p.m. is fine with me. It was like, you know, before or after the seminar, but I was the first one of my family to go overseas.
Yeah.
Standing in the Brussels Grand Place, just, you know, turning around, just looking at all the buildings and going, talk about a surreal experience, you know, to be, you know, yeah. And I actually went over as Mr. USA. So,
oh, okay.
So I had done it as Mr. USA and then as Mr. America and Mr. Universe. And it was, you know, so at that time I was 22. That was awe-inspiring, and it was a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jeff, you were doing so well with all your tours. I mean, that went on for years. That was part of the reason why that was one of the reasons why you never went over to the IFBB, right? Because they wanted you to basically start all over again and everything.
Yeah, you know, it got there were very, very close moments where they were. So John Brown, we let him do the Night of Champions.
So yeah.
Actually, I was supposed to do the Night of Champions. You know, there's discussions, Wayne D'Amelia. I think Jim Mannion pretty much nixed it. But, you know, I'd known Wayne for years. And, you know, he was always a great guy. You know, I got along well. You know, I didn't know him that close, but I knew him well enough. But so I was just on a tour, and I worked for a company, Multipower. They were
German-based. Yep.
Yeah. And so they used to set up my tours. I mean, I lived out of a suitcase sometimes 6-7 months of the year. I never came.
Wow.
And you know, my thing, I love doing the seminars. So I kept busy. Again, I was the scientist, you know, like I didn't say I do this. I explain stuff. And, I think made me a little different. And, you know, again, I'm pretty obsessive compulsive. There's a point I was going to make, though. Like, oh, Wayne D'Amelia, still the Night of Champions. So I remember coming back from New York because Bob was involved in it. And he said, and I was coming back to compete. And he said, yeah, it's not going to happen. So then over in Europe, because I worked for Multipower, they were the largest protein supplement company. They owned over 50% of the European market.
Hmm.
They had, you know, a lot of connections. And then I was going to go into the Grand Prix series. Do you remember the Grand Prix?
Yeah, right after Olympia.
There were six of them. And I was slated. I still have pictures from that. I was in a gym. I had some guy. I was on my own, and he took pictures for me. But I was going to I went to Nice, France. And I was supposed to do the first Grand Prix there. And some of the presidents were set. Was John Brown got it. You know, he didn't have to start over. So his name was flashing. He was the like the Wayne D'Amelia of European IFBB. So in the end, it same thing. I mean, I arrived at the show.
You know? Oh, man. What year was that, Jeff? Do you remember?
Oh, God. I don't remember what last week. Yeah, I have no idea what you
was that when Lee Haney was Mr. Olympia?
Lee Haney was already Mr. Olympia then.
Yeah.
This was, you know, probably 3 or 4 years after I won the universe. So 86, might have been 80. Actually, I think the Night of Champions was 85.
Okay.
That, you know, and they were, you know, like the thing was, you know, there was always a lot of disparity and between the AU and the MPC.
Yeah, I know.
And, you know, for me, like I said, it was a career. It was a short-term career. You know, I had the blessing. Actually, Matt, you'll remember the attorney, the Springfield.
Rick Collins?
No, he was Rick's attorney. What was his name? But anyway, he took me under his wing and he said, so are you putting money aside for taxes? Do you do are you doing your, you know, your quarterlies, your estimates? I'm like, what are you talking about? So,
Laura?
You know,
was it Laura?
What's that?
Laura?
No. Ed Hassett. So this guy coached me, man, like unbelievable. And I listened to everything he said. So that's how I learned the business. I started doing mail order and supplement law. You know, I did some supplements with, who was it? Super Spectrum. But I, you know, I became like a distributor. But long and short of it, you know, I didn't want to risk my job. I mean, I was busy.
Yeah.
Busy. Yeah. I mean,
you would have been given a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. I would come home. I remember I finished a tour in Australia, and it was summer there, but I was traveling back to the US. It was 3 days before Christmas. So, you know, I was just on the road and I was at the whim of whoever I was with. And for me at the time, I was busy. I was making a fair living because bodybuilders back then didn't really make a living.
Yeah.
So at that point, it was for me just a business decision to say, you know, if I could sort of get some of the shake like the other guys, like John Brown or whatever, you know, I would have done that. I would have happily got last place in a pro show.
Right.
Happily got last place. But to start over, and then to me, it could have, you know, who knows what would have been in the magazines, John, like you said, it was magazines. You know, America can't live up to the standard of it.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, come on. I just wanted to do what I love to do, and I made a decision, but now it was about me making a living. So,
yeah. It's such a shame because I remember for years after that, the fans would always be talking about, man, what if Jeff King would have went up against Lee Haney? You know, it's like, it's just a fantasy we never saw. We never saw this big matchup because, you know, when you won that America, it was like you were so phenomenal. I think people talked about your physique for years.
Thanks, John. Well, you know, it's funny. I used to say, too, I said, this is the best marketing I could ever have.
Yeah.
It never happens. People will always want to. Well, I want to see him in person, you know.
Yeah.
You know, they talked about it. And even you know, in magazines and I see on the internet, and I don't really follow bodybuilding at all, but someone will send me a quip, you know, like Larry will say, hey, this was in YouTube today. But, you know, whatever happened to him and what if he had done this?
And
he would have won. You know, it's still bubbling. So I think it was the best thing I ever did.
You know? Just to have the chance to see you up against like Lee Haney and Rich Gaspari, that would have been so cool.
Yeah.
Hey, Jeff, I got to tell you, I talked to Chris Aceto just today, and he said, tell Jeff that he inspired hundreds of bodybuilders, if not thousands.
Absolutely.
You know, he said that most muscular pose of you doing that, he goes, I don't think you understand how many people were really, really inspired by you when you won that America.
That's right.
Thanks, man.
You popped the balloon for all of Western Mass, I'm telling you. It's just, you know. Everybody started to compete in the America, the USA, the universe, and you know, yeah.
And who thinks, you know, I mean, I remember two things in my life when I was a kid. You know, I was a little chubby kid. I matured lately. And, you know, first I did the martial arts like crazy. You know, I competed in it because, you know, I say, if I don't want to get my ass kicked, I better be able to fight because I'm scary, you know. And then, you know, I started doing the weights, but I remember one seeing Lou Ferrigno on the Wide World of Sports that my brother teased me. And my brother was competed as a bodybuilder for a while. I went out and I got a log on the way home from school. I was probably like 12 years old, 13. And I started curling the log and my brother was busting my hump. And then, you know, I went and bought the barbell set and my father made me go to that Bob Otmer's gym. But then Pete Grimkowski on Red Fox.
And, oh, really? Red Fox?
Yeah,
oh.
Yeah, he did a thing. Red Fox had balloons, you know, and Chris, and he had huge quads. And that's when I started training legs. That was the beginning of me doing legs because I didn't do legs.
Yeah.
You know, that was a good time, man. But it was just, it would have been, maybe it would have been fun if I had done the NPC, then maybe it'd be different. But, you know, everything for a reason, for sure.
Yeah.
And talk about somebody that has stayed in the thick of it, Chris Aceto.
Yeah.
Wow. You know,
I remember when he came to Springfield College, and we trained together for a little bit. We were both kind of working with Bob at that time. He actually did his senior year. He lived at my folks' house out in the suburbs.
Oh, no kidding.
Just because he could, you know, he could make his own meals and pack his own lunches and sleep when he wanted to and not deal with anything. And, you know, that he and my parents made an arrangement, and that was great. Wow. This kid, you know, ate, slept and drank bodybuilding like nobody's business. And you know, he says he's slowing down now, but the way he's keeping track of his wins, I don't know if he actually is.
I mean,
he's just made bodybuilding his career in a different way, you know, as a coach. So certainly carrying on Bob Gruskin's legacy with what he's doing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yep. There was just a picture
Chris
on
Chris is a nice guy. I mean,
and he's smart as.
Yeah. He's a grounded dude, and he's a smart guy. He was always, I remember the first time I met him, Bob introduced me to him, and he was a shy kid. You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was a picture on Instagram of Bob Gruskin's basement, Jeff, today.
Jerry,
it's empty. It's empty because they are cleaning the house out to sell. So it's just the picture of the staircase and the checkered floor.
Yep.
And Jerry Scalise writes, "If you know, you know." In the basement, you know, if you've been in that basement, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yep. And Chris, he says something to the effect of, "And if you went down there and you were fat, you were going to hear about it." Definitely. You're fat.
I remember Chris was telling me how nervous he would get training legs with you, Jeff. Before the workout even got there, he was almost ready to throw up before the workout because he was so nervous training legs with
you. Oh, God. Well, hey, the guy trained hard, man. He was, they always say, the iron bug bit you. And
yeah.
You know, I don't really follow bodybuilding anymore, you know, but, you know, I've seen some of the YouTube stuff. If I'm not busy, I'll go on it. And it seems like there's not much focus on training. Sometimes it appears.
Yeah.
I'm so strong. I mean, it's freaky.
Yeah.
It's a whole different talk. And, you know, I just remember all the talk was you overtrained. You did too much, you know.
Yeah.
So it's different. It's definitely different.
Yeah, it's a different sport for sure.
Different values, I would say.
Yeah. Matt, did you ever wish you could have went to the NPC and the IFBB?
No. I don't really know what I thought as far as competition. I had won the America and the Universe. I was prepping for the Pro Universe, trying to put on mass, and then, you know, that it stopped. And, you know, It took me probably a year or two to get the mindset where, wow, this actually is a good thing, not a bad thing.
Yeah.
I didn't have any aspirations to be IFBB. I watched Jeff and his trials of, oh, maybe we'll let you in. Maybe we're not. Maybe we will. Maybe you want. And
I'm just like,
I'm welcome in the NABBA, you know, and I'm welcome on their tours and I can do, you know, other shows. I don't need to. And besides, you know, it's kind of cool saying you were in the same show that Arnold Schwarzenegger was in, you know, when he was.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's a little. All of those greats that you listed, the Robbie Robinsons and the Frank Zanes and the Reg Parker, they all won the NABBA Universe, you know?
Yeah.
You know, our names are on the same list, you know?
Yeah.
So I didn't care about NPC or anything like that. It was just bodies were bodies. You know, I knew some of the athletes back in the day and met them through Chris Aceto, but it wasn't a driving force for me.
Yeah. Hey, Jeff, I got to ask you, Jeff, what you did for your legs. Everyone's going to want to know that. If I don't ask that, it's going to be an incomplete interview.
I always did front squats. I know the order. I can tell you the order I do it now. I did front squats, hack squats. I did leg press, you know, the vertical leg press, but with it. And I got this from Mike Antorino. He called them duck squats.
Yep.
And then I did And that was in the off season. And then before a show, I would add in leg extensions. And then, of course, I did leg curls. I did single leg curls, maybe good mornings or.
Okay. Just so we're clear. So we're clear. You know, this isn't, well, I don't actually know how the pros train, but what I see when I see them training, and it might be just for photo shoots, there's a lot of pumping. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Jeff was training lifts. So it was ass to floor, you know, 455, 515 front squats. So it wasn't like, you know, mamby-pamby stuff.
Yeah.
Back squats were for 300, 400 pounds. The leg press was for, you know, huge.
Yeah.
And it was the Jubenville metal on metal.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean.
The good old equipment.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah.
And that's why I have a total hip.
Yeah. I think back, you know, if I had my brain now back then, I would have trained a lot less volume, knowing what I know now about recovery and muscular stimulation, all that. You can literally with good concentration and good focus, get an incredible workout. I know John DeFendis is going like this when he's listening, like in just a few sets, you can destroy a muscle and the rest should be left to recover. And again, we got sucked into loving to train because it was always four squat, four hack, four leg press, four something else. Mm-hmm. So you're doing 16, 20 sets for quads. What?
Yeah.
Give me six and I would have been Mr. Universe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hey, John, I got to say, too, I was watching, I think you were, I watched the podcast. You did Larry and I can't remember, the bodybuilder from Chicago.
Glenn Kinnear.
Yes, Glenn.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was.
He's a Mr. America.
Great. He was awesome.
186, yeah.
Yeah. And, but the thing was, you know, you guys were talking training, and I have to say, I'm so envious because you're still training sort of heavy, I think.
Yeah. I'm seeing some of his training, John.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, you know, my shoulders are gone like Larry's, and my hip got replaced. Best thing I ever did. But my knees bone on bone, and I just think some guys, man, like yourself, you know, you just go, and I am envious because it's hard to admit, you know, like I'm not an athlete anymore. I can't really run, you know. Like, you know, a car comes, I'm trying to go across the street. You know, but you know, I still train and I do everything. Again, the other thing, I'm 62 soon. It doesn't matter. I mean, I'm not missing workouts. I still eat well.
Yeah.
Losing weight, like, you know, slowly over the years. And I think you lose about 8% a year. So I did the math after 40. I'm like, well, like I'm going on like 25% loss of. It's frustrating, you know.
Yeah.
You lift your arm up, and it's not fat that's swinging; it's the skin. Jesus, I feel like a flying squirrel.
Yeah. I just said to Lisa the other day, I was like, you know, I got all after I did bodybuilding, I went into triathlon and kind of got heavy into that, which helped me lose a lot of weight.
Yeah.
Did an Ironman triathlon and all that stuff, which was a lot of training. But
you are amazing, Matt. You got the mind, buddy.
But I've got all these bikes down cellar and racing bikes and this and that. I look at Lisa, I go, you know, I think I gotta bring my brain at you know, soon to be 56 this month, you know, that I'm going to maybe ride hard with my buddies now and then, but I'm never going to race again. I'm not going to do a triathlon. I can't run. I don't know if my back will let me ever run again, or should I run?
Yeah.
And I just like, you know, stay in shape. I still go to the gym. I can still out bench my son, which might last another year or two.
Right.
He's 25. He's not training the way I did at 25, but he's there. But you got it. Facing your mortality is definitely that's also surreal. Let's put it that way. You know, it's a different thing. And you're dodging the bullet, damn it.
Matt, Frank Vincenzo, who he placed in the America as well. He was my But he's 67 now, so we're about 6 years apart. He'll be 68, but he'll always say to me, "Take my hand, dear friend. Let me lead you into old age." and the thing is he's old. The guy is he's still like a stone. I mean, he's as a rock. But it's so funny, like just withering away. Like, and he says, he goes, "Jesus Christ!" He goes, like I always say, it's when you get older, forget what you look like in clothes. It's what you look like out. You want to be lean. You want to be fit.
Yeah.
Like he says, for me to be lean now, I have to weigh 160 pounds. Yeah, and the guy naturally was a 230-pound
rock.
Guy. He was. Yeah. He was a good bodybuilder. He trained like a nut. And, that's how we became friends, and Matt, you might agree with this, and John, you as well. It's like some of my best friends always. Mike Jodis was my training partner in St. Louis. We've been friends. I was out in St. Louis when I was right after the America. That's why he showed up. I started training with him. He was friends with my attorney. He's training with Mr. America. He's supposed to go back to college. I'm noticing, God, so I says, "Hey, man, when are you supposed to go back to school?" He goes, "Go back to school. I get to train with you. I must stay here as long as I can." But a lot of my friends that, you share these work ethic values, they become some of the best friends of your life. I mean, Kevin Landry, Kevin, Matt. Yeah.
I still go out to dinner, once every couple of months with Bruce Pennington. Here's the guy. Here's a guy that showed up after his shift at American Airlines at 1 o'clock in the morning to do a bicep workout with me, because we were double split. I mean, and he trained with me. Bruce and I trained from before the Teenage Mr. America all the way to the Mr. Universe. He was my training partner.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's like we're going to meet every couple months,
so, yeah.
Your gym husband, right?
What's up? What's that?
Your gym husband.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah, you form a special bond with the people you train with because it's like, you're sharing an experience that, it's hard to describe to anybody else.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jeff, do you ever see Mike Antorino anymore? Do you ever hear him?
It's funny. I was just thinking, it's funny. Anytime I think about someone, next thing I know, I see them. But
yeah.
I used to ask Bob, what's Mike up to? And he said, he's doing okay, but I just sort of lost contact with him. And, Mike, he was a great guy, Mike, another Jersey boy, so, and he was a good wrestler. He was an excellent athlete. And, we hooked up a couple of times to train, and of course he won the America as well. So actually, where I met him, it was at the teenage Mr. America, my first bodybuilding contest. I never talked to him. I was afraid of him. And he had these big glasses on, huge glasses, like the thick, big glasses on. And he was on the stage with the glasses. And I think Bob met him as well. And, he said, "Hey, take off those glasses, Bob, he hated tattoos and he saw the snake. I think it probably put Mike on hold for a little bit, but
no one had tattoos back then.
But yeah. I'm curious what he's up to. He was a good guy. He was a good bodybuilder.
Yeah. A very good guy. He worked with Multipower in the States for a little bit with doing stuff with Adrian and stuff. But, he always struck me he won the Mr. America, but it was kind of like, "Really? I won the Mr. America?" He's always, he never struck me as bodybuilding was his love and his passion. He kind of just did it and it happened. And, he had his wife and his family and it just wasn't what was driving him. Like it drove Jeff and me to some extent and some of the other people.
Yeah.
He just was. Maybe he was more grounded than us, as far as he just was like, all right. He wasn't driven to go to the universe. I never saw him compete after that. Did he, Jeff?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't think he did. I think he just settled in, like you said. I think he was very family oriented. I can't remember. I remember his wife's name, but it's on the tip of my tongue. I can't bring
Roberta,
up.
Roberta, I think.
Roberta. Yeah, Roberta. Yeah. And so, you know, I just.
My mind's not as bad as Jeff's yet.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he focused on important things, you know?
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah. Yeah, I never saw him compete or met him, but he always looked like an intimidating bodybuilder. He had that powerful look, you know?
Yeah.
Huge traps.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he won the show. He might have won the Teenage America the year I got third in the medium tall or something.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. I just wanted a trophy. I didn't care.
Well, you did good that one year, Jeff. You won the heavyweight in the Teenage America and the USA both.
Yeah, yeah. That was the year Bob gave me Kelp. Yeah.
Yeah. What did you weigh at that as a teenager?
Honestly, I maybe 205.
Wow, you looked huge. You looked huge in the pictures.
Yeah. You know who is? I remember Mihalik's guy was there. I can't remember his name. It's on the tip of my tongue. But you know who is a very nice guy? I ran into him in California. I was out there on vacation in San Francisco. It's Paul Chingalum.
Oh, yeah.
Man, that guy, he was a stone.
And yeah, great physique.
I ran into him out in the gym, and it was him and the actor there, the dancer. I can't remember his name. And it was so funny. I'm looking at him. He's looking at me, and he said, Jeff King. I go, Paul Jean? Yeah. First time I met him was at the Teen America or the Teen USA.
Yeah. He was in that show that year, too. Right.
Yeah. And that's where I saw Lee Haney for the first time. It was just first time, I believe, in the Junior America it might have been that year.
And that's okay.
Because he had just turned 20, you know, or something.
Yeah, like that. Yeah, wow.
It was in Atlanta, whatever show was in Atlanta.
Oh, the USA. It was the USA.
Yeah, it was USA. That's what he was in.
Right. Dave Rogers, I think, won, right? Dave Rogers won the USA.
I don't remember who won. I remember Lee Haney.
Yeah.
Impressive guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I just had Tom Terwilliger and Tony Pearson and Phil Williams on the show. We were all talking. I was asking all those guys about getting older because they're all in their early 60s. You know,
Tony Pearson doesn't age.
He's 65. He's 65. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
He looks incredible, too. He's lean. He's hard.
He's in shape. Yeah.
Diamond heart.
Yeah.
Tony Pearson, he trained out at Turner's Gym. You know,
George Turner. You were there for a while, right?
Yeah, I trained him. Oh, he was funny, man. That guy was a character, but he comes in, you know, he was just funny. He was all this, you know, the old gridiron guy.
Yeah,
you know?
We did a couple of shows about him.
He was telling me about Tony Pierce. He goes, man, that guy only eat 5 pounds of hamburger. and Tony was, you know, he was always ripped, but he. Yeah. Samir Banu trained at his gym for a while.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I hear all the stories, all the guys that were there.
Yeah.
And just before the America, I just moved to St. Louis. I was there for a week, and I went. I trained his gym. He's like, hey.
Oh, the year you won the America?
Yeah. He says, come here. You know, well, I was moving to go to chiropractor school. That's why I wasn't going to do the show.
Oh, okay.
That's when Bob said, oh, no, you're going in. He goes, you know. So I put school off for 3 months and then the universe, and it was, you know, it just turned into a whirlwind. But
yeah,
George is like, yeah, come on, come in the back room. You know, let me see your legs, you know? And he goes, you look okay. Yeah. George was just a funny guy, man. He would get in fist fights at his gym if you dropped a weight for you.
Right.
Yeah, I'd see him like brawling up in the front with some dude. he was a character, man.
Yeah. Phil Williams and Tony had a lot of stories about him.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Phil Williams was out there, too.
Yeah.
What was St. Louis like a hotbed at that time?
I guess it was that gym, right?
I think it was George. Yeah. George, you know, he used to write for Muscle Fitness.
Yeah, it was one of the best gyms in the country, I guess, at its time.
It was so far ahead of its day. I mean, it was beyond. And he had a couple of them. He had them, I think, at the time.
Yeah.
I trained at the one in Creve Corps and, you know, with Mike, you know, that's how Mike brought me there. He goes, oh, you got to go to this gym, man. We trained at a couple of gyms and, you know, it was, Mike was a great training partner. He's got, actually, he does personal training out in St. Louis. And, you know, quick story is, you know, when I went out, it was working for Super Spectrum. He came with me. We flew out to California. We were up and down Thousand Oaks. We went to the Anaheim convention. I went there with, Super. That's where I met, Multipower. And then I started working. Okay. But he came with me and we went to a gym. I don't know if we were in Fresno. Randy Heim. I don't know if you remember Randy Heim was a body. He had massive quads, but
I remember him. Yeah.
Yeah. So we went to this gym. We stayed at Randy's house and then we went to this gym. So Mike comes back to me. He goes, hey man, he goes, I think, you know, why don't you and me start doing personal training? And I'm like, personal training. Well, this guy, he's the third largest, personal training, company or business in the U.S., if not the world.
Hmm.
It's called the Fitness Edge. And, you know, he, to this day, he always calls me, he'll text me, how you doing? And he'll say, you know, I just always want to thank you. You inspired me to where I am today. Like stuff like that. And of course I'm like, shut the fuck up. You know? but dude, you saw me in my worst times. You know? Like,
now you're a millionaire and I'm not.
Yeah. And so it's so funny because, and then another time it came close. The accountant I had, his accountant, and he wanted to expand, but he wanted a partner. And you know, Mike's just a very good guy, and you know, he could have had it made. His family, Jordan's Bakery Supply, since the 1800s. You know, family business. You know, and he didn't want any of it. He wanted to do his own thing, and he is. And you know, he's a real gentleman, man, and he's still training like a nut. You know, so but anyway, you know, just small stories.
Yeah.
You remember Rich Sulky?
Oh my God, yeah.
So Rich Sulky is he spends this time between the Cape and DC. He owns a training company in DC.
Oh my god.
And it's phenomenally successful. And Bruce keeps me up to date with him and what's going on. That was actually surreal for me because he was one of the Springfield College behemoths, you know.
Oh yeah.
In the gym. And he competed in the America the year I won. And that was kind of weird, like having Rich Sulky in the show and competing against him. You know what I mean? It was like, I was like, but he's doing very well and keeps in touch with Bruce and stuff. But yeah, had we been smart enough to capitalize on what we did, we would have been millionaires. But, you know.
Yeah.
Now we're in healthcare. Cool. Go figure.
And I tell you, if I was going to have a business, it wouldn't be in healthcare, boy.
But
very volatile. You know?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, I can imagine.
Unless you work for the government.
Yeah. Yeah, but you get a good pension. I don't get anything.
That's I'm literally working for my pension as we speak right now. I got to put in some years, and then I'll hopefully be set. But yeah. Of course, I got to deal with crazy people like you all day. So,
good luck.
Yeah,
Jeff, are you still working for the police department out there?
Yeah, okay. Still am. Yep, and you know, I'm at that point. I have to decide if I'm gonna
stay or go.
Training, you know, and stay. I mean, I was retiring when I had my hip done. I was done, and funny, the pandemic came, and I've always worked two jobs. You know, I got my three kids and you know, divorce is hard, you know, I told him, I said, I'm retiring. I'm done. So I usually could get per diem work. It's premium, man. It's great money. And with the pandemic, like all the nursing homes, they just closed down. I mean, even now I couldn't get a gig where before I could work every single day if I want. I couldn't even have a job. I could just do per diem and be great.
Mm-hmm. But,
so I couldn't get any work. So I called him up. The sergeant says, hey, say, I need to know. Am I putting you on the schedule? I said, yep. So, you know, I'm ready to give it up. But, you know, right now, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Now, for Bay State, do you actually see patients like
all day long?
No, I thought for some reason you had moved up into management to not.
I am in management. Yeah, I'm in management.
And you still see patients.
Yeah, it's, you know, I usually, like today, remember I told you I'm done with my last patient at 5:40. Yeah. And, wow. You know, I'm typically about 50%. So, okay. You know, the process is coming now. It really depends on what's going on. To be honest with you, Matt, it's the best part of my job.
Seeing the patients.
Oh, yeah. I don't like being dad.
Right,
You know, I don't like, I just want to come and do my job. But, you know, obviously, you know, like the management job is a better pay scale.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you.
The best part of my job is the patient care.
Yeah.
So I'm sort of like a personal trainer almost, but I made more money if I did my own thing.
If you're not getting the cut.
Yeah, oh, no, no cut, you know, and no pension.
All right, guys. Well, I'll let you go. I appreciate the time spending it with me on the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. Matt and Jeff, it was a great pleasure talking to you guys again. And first time meeting you, Matt, thank you very much for setting us up.
No problem.
And, yeah, John.
Hope we get to talk to you guys again. It was a real pleasure talking about the old days.
All right.
So, John,
you.
I want to add one last final note.
Okay.
Like I told you, you know, who'd you look up and who you idol? I told you it moved along as, you know, opportunities, and it was where I was in my life. You are now my new idol because
you can endorse like, that.
I'm like so pissed that this guy's still training on us. I'm not jealous. I'm just envious. Right? So now you know who my new hero is.
I love it. I can endorse
it. Be well,
that.
Guys.
That's right,
guys.
Great.
Take care.
I appreciate
thanks,
it, buddy.
Take care. All right, John. You bet.
Bye-bye. All right. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. My sincere thanks to Jeff King and Matt Dufresne for being guests on the show. I really enjoyed talking to those guys. Both really, really great guys. And I want to thank our Patreon donors for continuing to sponsor the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. If you guys would like to become a Patreon donor yourself, as I said, go to the bodybuildinglegendshow.com website. And in the upper right-hand corner, you will see the link to become a Patreon donor. And I appreciate all you guys who do this every month. You really help support the show. And if you want to send us any emails, you can do that at naturalolympia@gmail.com. All right, before I let you guys go, I want to read this article called How I Trained for the Mr. America, Mr. Universe by Jeff King. This was written in 1984, the year after Jeff won the Mr. America title. It says, before I start this article, I suppose I should begin by giving you a short introduction of who I am. I am 22 years old, a graduate of Springfield College, magna cum laude, with a degree in health and fitness, and I'm planning to continue my education in the field of chiropractic. I began to train with weights about 7 years ago because I was small and weak. The start of fitness was a result of 2 years of inactivity and junk food after school. It was not until I compared my physique with the physique of one of my friends who was a wrestler that I was shocked to see how weak and out of shape I was. I began doing curls that day with a log. I later purchased a 70-pound weight set, and I was put on a weight training program by Bob Ottmer, a local gym owner and bodybuilder. From this day on, I began my quest for the biggest and strongest physique possible. It has been about 7 years now since I first began, and I can say that this hard work and patience has paid off. One question that I'm asked a lot is, how did you train for the Mr. America and the Mr. Universe? In this article, I will explain just that. I began training for this contest by first making a commitment to myself in March 1983, which was approximately 6 months from the show. With some prodding and encouragement from Rick Britt, my friend and owner of the Springfield Barbell Club, where I trained in Springfield, Massachusetts, I decided I was going into the Mr. America and I was going to do my best. I chose to go into the Mr. America because I knew I would be starting chiropractic college, and that would be at least 3 years before I could compete again. This decision was a tough one because so much was coming up during this next 6 months. I would be working, taking an organic chemistry course necessary for college, and moving to Missouri. I knew the schedule would be a strain, but I decided to go for it anyway. I began training for the Mr. America by just keeping my previous training schedule, but I took each workout more seriously. Every day I went into Big Daddy's Springfield Barbell Club, I trained as heavy and strictly as possible. I make sure each set counted, and I constantly tried to move more weight. My sets per body part range between 7 and 12 sets. My reps range between 4 and 10 reps. What I did was cycle my workouts so to avoid
burning out. I began the cycle by doing 6 reps in all movements for the first half of the week. The second half, I would go to 8 reps per set, handling as much weight as possible. The next half, I would do 10 reps as I did with the previously explained schedules. Next, I would do a power routine using pyramid sets going as low as 4 reps. My power schedule will be explained in a future issue. Finally, I would end this cycle off with a half week of very light workouts doing 10 reps. These light workouts would allow me to recuperate from the 2 weeks of intense workouts. I have to be careful not to overtrain. The training schedule I followed was a 3-day on, 1-day off schedule. I felt I needed it would take even 2 days off once in a while. The schedule I feel is excellent for growth because unlike a 6-day routine, it gives you an extra day of rest to recuperate. I train in the afternoons doing all of my workouts after school. I would rest approximately 1 to 2 minutes between each set depending on the body part being trained. I would not need as much rest between sets of arms as I would need for leg work. I would try to keep a steady pace through each body part until I was totally done with it. As for force reps and high intensity practices, I may have used them occasionally, but I tried to avoid them because they are overused. They tend to bring on overtraining in itself. I basically stuck with straight sets, pushing up the weight whenever I could. I broke my body parts up in the following manner. Workout day 1 was chest, back, abs, and neck. Workout day 2 was legs and calves. Workout day 3 was shoulders, biceps, triceps, abs, and neck. Workout day 4 was off. Every other day, I would train calves. I did occasionally regroup my body parts, but I returned to this schedule because I found it works best for me. The schedule works out so that every body part is worked out twice in 8 days. My calves, abs, and neck were the exceptions. My calves were trained 3 days in the schedule, and my abs and neck 4 days. After about a month and a half, I started to add a few sets here and there. The sets added were basically specialized exercises helping to help some weaknesses, especially my back. My sets now range from 9 to 12 per body part. After 2 months of this high-intensity training, I began to feel overtrained. I took 3 days off, and I changed my training cycle over to 2 heavy days and a moderate day routine. My previous training cycle was just too heavy and cutting down my recuperative powers too much. During this past year, I've kept a training log, which allows me to look back on my progress. On the 17th of May, I began my diet. Using my knowledge of nutrition and body composition testing, which I attained in college, I began to get rid of my body fat tissue while maintaining as much muscle as possible. I knew I wanted to have my body fat lower than I had in the collegiate Mr. America in April of 1982, which I had won. My percent of fat at that show was 3.1%. Learning from my mistakes when I trained for that show would hopefully allow me to get more ripped, yet maintain more muscle mass for the Mr. America. I monitored my progress using hydrostatic weighing and by counting calories. Everything would be scientifically and knowledgeably done. My caloric intake consisted mainly of carbohydrates and then protein. My fat intake was as low as possible. Egg whites, chicken, fish, and yogurt were basically my sources of protein, while fresh fruit, vegetables, and grains and cereals provided me with high-energy carbohydrates. Because my metabolism is so fast, I found I could lose about 2 pounds or more of fat a week on a 3,200 to 3,500-calorie diet. To most, this would be a feast. My body fat went from 13.7 body fat to 4.8 in only 7 weeks. I had to begin eating in fear that I may peak too soon. As the contest closed in, I became more and more focused on the show. Between work, school, and training, I had no time for anything. I was slowly becoming exhausted. I began to train twice a day when I could because the end of my workouts began to suffer due to my lower energy level. This not only allowed me to train my body parts harder, but it kept my metabolism going. Thanks to Rick Britt, I mainly trained during closed gym hours so to intensify my workouts. My training partner, Richard Roy, who was training for the Mr. USA, became more and more important. My nights became restless. In July, I began to feel overtrained again. I felt constantly fatigued. With a suggestion from a friend, I began to train lighter but faster using more concentration. This program was alternated with heavy days, and it really seemed to work. I got stronger and bigger. A lot can be said for this kind of training, especially a few weeks out from a contest. Because I did not take in enough calories, I could not recuperate fully from very heavy workouts. My recuperative power slowly became drained. By training lighter, stricter, and faster, 30 to 40 seconds rest between sets, you can keep the intensity high but not totally drain all your energy. I began to leave the gym feeling trained, but not exhausted. If I were to continue this heavy training, I would have most likely overtrained by contest time, leaving me flat and smaller. The most important thing to remember is that before a contest, you want to maintain as much muscle as possible and not lose it, which may happen when you overtrain. The last 3 or 4 weeks before a contest, you won't gain any muscle. You just have to keep it. The final 4 weeks before the America, I began to do aerobics. This was used to remove any excess fat around my waist or whatever. I also cut my calories down to 2,800. I had to be very careful, though, not to peak too soon. My body fat was already near contest level. My percentage body fat was below 5%, 6 weeks out from the show already. At this time, I also began to train with Rick Sampson, who was also training for the Mr. America at the Springfield Barbell Club. Rick is one of the hardest trainers I know, and it was a sight to train together for the show. 2 weeks before the America, I had to make a major move to St. Louis, Missouri, where I was planning to attend Logan College of Chiropractic in the spring. This was a very stressful trip, and at one time I had driven 17 hours straight. Needless to say, I was exhausted. During my short stay in Missouri, I trained at George Turner's gym, which is incredible. I returned to my parents' home in New Jersey by plane, and then I drove to Baltimore, Maryland to compete in and win the Mr. Eastern USA on the 28th of August. I then returned home to New Jersey that day only to begin what seemed like endless hours of exhausting photo sessions with the master of torture sessions, Bob Gruskin, at the Omega Gym and the building room. On the 1st of September, I began carving up and dehydrating. I started carving very slowly and early because for the carbohydrates to be stored in the muscle, it can take as long as 72 hours. I also dehydrate this early so I can do it slowly, avoiding over dehydration. It was also this day that I left for Tampa, Florida. Bob Gruskin and I met Rick Britt, Springfield Barbell Club owner, my sponsor, and Rick Sampson at Newark International Airport, and we were on our way to Tampa. In Florida, it was time to rest up and practice posing. It's posing the last few days that really brings out the cuts and tightens me up. My calorie intake during the carving period never went over 4,000 calories, and I would drink only 3 cups of coffee for my fluid intake the last few days. On the 3rd of September, I made it through the prejudging with 63 other competitors of outstanding caliber. I was psyched but very nervous. September 4th was the greatest day in my bodybuilding career. I had attained a long thought of dream of one day becoming Mr. America. As I found out, though, this was not the end of my months of hard training and dieting, because now, unknown to me before the Mr. America, I was invited to represent the USA at the Mr. Universe in London, England, 2 weeks later. Going to the Universe would mean holding my diet and training for another 2 weeks. Returning to Missouri, I continued training as I did for the Mr. America at George Turner's gym. To start the training off, however, I trained very heavy to remind the muscles that they had not been forgotten. This, however, was a mistake because I was drained and fatigued for the rest of the week. On the 11th of September, I flew to New Jersey again and I picked up my passport. I trained light and intense the last 4 days of training. Tuesday before the Mr. Universe was my last day of training. I always take off from training 2 or 3 days before a contest, so to let my body recuperate and move waste products and metabolites out of the muscle, which tends to retain water. I also began carbing and dehydrating on Tuesday. On Wednesday, I left for London with my good friend Bob, and I arrived exhausted. The jet lag was no help either. On the 17th of September, I was announced as the 1983 Mr. Universe. Again, this was another shock and highlight in my life. Besides learning a lot about myself and my training, I met a lot of great people. It was an honor to get to know bodybuilding greats such as Larry Bernstein, Marty Vranikar, Bob Reese, Bob Jockowitz, etc. In the issues to come, I'll go into detail about how I train my body parts and tell you how you may improve your own. I will also go into some other aspects important to bodybuilding, such as nutrition, posing, etc. In the first article, I will cover back training. Until then, train hard and be an animal. All right. So this was probably in Muscular Development magazine, because I know back then all the Mr. America winners would write articles for Muscular Development, and I remember they would be in every month. I know my friend Glenn Kinnear won in 86. His articles were in Muscular Development every month, and I'm going all the way back to when I started bodybuilding. Dale Adrian, who won the 1975 Mr. America, his articles were in the 1976 issues of Muscular Development. So I'm guessing this is where Jeff's articles were probably appearing in every month in Muscular Development. So that was really interesting. He was very, very detailed about his nutrition, which was unusual, I think, back in 1983, even getting his body fat tested, and he knew about how much carbohydrates to eat. And it was also interesting how he had to adjust his training intensity while he was dieting so he wouldn't overtrain. Jeff was very, very smart about both his training and his diet. That dieting, I'm telling you, he was way ahead of his time, because I know for sure most guys weren't counting their calories and counting their macros and doing all that stuff. Everybody does that now, of course, but back in 1983, I don't think too many people were doing that. So really interesting article, and gives you a little more insight into Jeff King. And that was interesting how he was training at George Turner's gym. I heard that he was training there, but I didn't know that it was right before the America. And as Jeff told us, he never went to chiropractic school. I think we talked about this in our first interview with Jeff, which I did a couple of years ago on my podcast. If you want to check that out, just go back and check that out. But Jeff was supposed to go to chiropractic school. And then because he won that universe, he was highly in demand for seminars and guest posings all through Europe, which was very popular back then. And John Brown, before Jeff, had done that. Jeff went on, and for the next few years, he made a real good career, was making a lot of money, was traveling a lot, and he's traveling at least half of the year doing posing exhibitions and seminars. And that's why he decided not to go over to the MPC, because they wanted him to start all over again at the amateur level. And he already had a good career doing the seminars and posing exhibitions through WABA and NABA and all the other organizations that he was doing. So Jeff King, great champion. All right, guys, that's all we got for this week on the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. We will be back next week. So until then, keep training hard, stay safe out there, and we'll see you guys next week. Take care.